Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I'm so psyched to share with you this interview I did with Alicia Thompson for her new book, Love in the Time of Serial Killers. If you like romance and also true crime, this is the book for you. I'm going to read you her bio directly because I love it so much. Alicia Thompson is a writer, reader, and Paramore superfan. As a teen, she appeared in an episode of 48 Hours in the audience of a local murder trial where she broke the fourth wall by looking directly into the camera. She currently lives in Florida with her husband and two children. This interview was a blast, so without further ado, please enjoy my chat with Alicia Thompson.
Hi, Alicia. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so well. I devoured this book.
Oh, thank you.
I loved it so much. Obviously, our listeners haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. So if you would do me the honor of giving a little summary of Love in the Time of Serial Killers, I would love that.
Sure. Love in the Time of Serial Killers is about a PhD candidate named Phoebe Walsh, and she is studying true crime. And so because of that, she kind of sees everything through the lens of true crime. Like, she's very paranoid and she's very, you know, sure that any behavior is, you know, out of the ordinary or suspicious. And she goes back to her dad's house in Florida after he passes away, just to clean it out and kind of get some things ready. And while she's there, she meets his neighbor, who's Sam, and he's very, you know, swoony and very sweet. But of course, every single thing that he does, she just sees through the lens of, you know, it's some Ted Bundy kind of stuff that he's doing. And that's basically Love in the Time of Serial Killers.
It's so great. You know, my listeners know that I am both a horror reader and a romance reader. So anytime you mesh the dark with the happily ever after, I'm all in. Sign me up. I'm so into it. I want to know, like, on your end, how did this book come to be? Like, I assume you are a big true crime fan.
I am. Yeah. I feel like I used to consume more of it when I was like in high school and stuff. I was really into it. I do have kids now, so that makes it a little harder to kind of get into true crime. But I still am. I'm fascinated by the genre, like even more than the actual crimes themselves. I'm just really interested in the genre and what it says about our culture and kind of what we're always, you know, looking at, or, you know, the kinds of stories that we're telling with regards to justice and crime and all that. So basically this book came about, I was writing it, during the pandemic. It was like August of 2020. And so I don't know about everyone else, but I was just feeling like extra feral and squirrely, and like, even that few months of not really interacting with people as much was kind of really getting to me. And I was also thinking about how hard it is to date or to like open yourself up to other people when, you know, obviously in the pandemic when you couldn't literally see other people, but just in general, when there's so much stuff going on in the world, like how do you read about all this stuff happening in the newspaper and then go out and trust somebody with, you know, your deepest, most vulnerable self? And so that was a lot of what I was thinking about right when, you know, I started actually writing the book.
Yeah, no, totally. I tell my husband all the time that I'm so glad we met before like apps and things were like, I'm like, I simply could not date today. When I was a new mom, there was an app that was like, find other new moms in your area. And I downloaded it for, I'm gonna say maybe 5 total minutes before I panicked and deleted it because I was like, I don't want to meet strangers.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
No, I feel the same way. I've been with my husband for a very long time. We met when I was like, I don't know, 16, 17 or something like that. And I tell him the same thing all the time. I'm like, if I wasn't with you, I would just be living by myself. And honestly, probably loving it. Like, I'm the kind of person that like, I really like my alone time. And so I'm like, you know, thank God I met you, I guess, because my alternate timeline self, I just would have been a very happy bachelor for a very long time, probably.
Yeah, same. This episode is going to be coming out at the most perfect time because we just did an episode of this podcast about true crime.
So I listened to it.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I did. I just listened to it and I was obsessed because so many of the things you guys were saying about true crime were exactly how I feel. In fact, one of you even mentioned the podcast you're wrong about that I'm like obsessed
with. Yes.
And I actually thank the podcast in my acknowledgments because I don't know, just to me, it really is the most like empathetic, compassionate look at a lot of true crime cases. That's not even what the podcast does, you know, totally. But anyway, yeah, I really enjoyed that episode.
It was so much fun. And Sam, my coworker who was guesting on that episode, has recently discovered her love of romance as well. And when I started this book, I came into work and I was like, Sam, I have a book for you.
Oh, I'm so delighted.
She pre-ordered it in that moment. Like she was so excited. Yeah, no, this is, it all clicked together so perfectly. So you have this kind of background of loving true crime. Did you have to do a lot of research for this book? Because the pieces of the dissertation in this are so good. And like the things that you have to say, or that Phoebe has to say about true crime in this are just chef's kiss good. Did you do research for this, or is this just all in your brain all the time?
Well, a lot of it is in my brain all the time, unfortunately. And a lot of the, like the references to like specific books and specific like Dateline episodes and stuff are basically just references I think about constantly. And so I was just delighted to have an excuse to kind of put them into a book. But one thing I did research was I was very interested in what the experience would be like of somebody who went to grad school to study true crime, because I went to grad school. I went and I got my MFA in creative writing. And I have a lot of friends who got their PhDs in, you know, literature and rec comp and, you know, different kind of English related subjects. And so I already kind of knew about it. Like I knew about your comp exams and your dissertation and, you know, your teaching assignments and all that stuff. But specifically, I was really interested in how would a department feel about a student studying true crime? Because some departments can be kind of picky about that kind of stuff and not really feel like it's true scholarship. Whereas I think, to me, it's the study of a genre. And so I think it's just as valid as any other study of a genre. And in fact, very like relevant to kind of things that are going on right now. So I did find somebody online. I did a search and I found someone who had gotten her PhD in true crime and had written a dissertation. And the minute I actually found the dissertation online, and the minute I read the dissertation, I was like, okay, this is exactly what Phoebe would have been doing. And so I emailed her. And she sent me, she was very nice about it. Her name is Dr. Rebecca Frost. And she sent me this whole giant wall of text about like, this was what my experience was like. This was, you know, how it was getting my, you know, PhD in this specific subject. And she was invaluable for that kind of stuff. And yeah, she's also thanked in the acknowledgments for a very good reason.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, I loved all of the bits about Phoebe working through her dissertation. I was cackling because her procrastination is my procrastination. I was like, girl, same.
Like, yeah, the only problem with that actually is there were a few times when, as I was working on the book, like with my editor, where I was like, oh, I'm just telling all my secrets. Because it's not unlike working with an advisor. So here I am writing about Phoebe and the way that she feels about getting, you know, phone calls from her advisor and stuff. And I'm like, I'm just giving away all my secrets.
I love that. I love that true crime is basically its own character in this book. And, you know, Phoebe's love of it, Phoebe's passion for it is just so palpable. It leaps off the page. And I find it really interesting that, you know, she kind of, she hides behind her love of true crime in a way, like she's kind of made it her personality, right? Of like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm like the weird true crime girl, which like, haven't we all done that?
Right.
And she's hiding from love. And then it is love that's breaking through, but it's not just romantic love. Like I love thinking about, oh, it's her relationship with her brother and his girlfriend that's breaking through. It's her relationship with her childhood best friend that's breaking through. It's her adopting a cat off the street that's breaking through. Like these moments of realizing, oh, people trust me. People like me. People love me. And it's like, and they accept me and my love of true crime. And I love it. I love this book.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely, it's funny because sometimes people ask me stuff about, you know, how close is Phoebe to me? And in some ways she feels very close and in other ways, like very far away. And one thing I realized is that I feel like Phoebe is actually very close to me a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like in like high school, I was definitely the kind of person who, you know, if you asked me for a fun fact about myself, I'd be like, well, my favorite serial killer is so-and-so, you know, like, and it was definitely a, like you're saying, like hiding behind it and kind of wanting, like wanting to immediately, I don't know, intimidate someone or make somebody think like that I was tougher than I was, or there was a lot of that going on with it. And it was definitely something I had to learn over the last, you know, who knows how many decades, but I mean, just, I feel like since I was a kid, kind of learning that experience of, like you're saying, like being open to love and realizing that, like, you know, other people are ready to love you if you just let them.
Yeah, it's got good lessons, this book.
Thank you.
Oh God, I saw in, I forget if it was in the acknowledgments. I think it was in the acknowledgments that you thanked your mom for bringing home trial transcripts for you to read in high school.
Yeah,
that seems very on brand. I like that a lot.
Yeah, she used to bring home federal cases because she had access to like a federal case database or whatever. And so she would bring home, the Unabomber was one that I remember following.
Wow.
The Susan Smith trial. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember how she got that one, 'cause I don't think that was federal, but anyway, like just different cases. And I was really into it and it was very bizarre.
Man. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, you know, big all of my true crime listeners, like this book has so many amazing references and tidbits, and you write so thoughtfully and so sweetly about the truth. And sweetly isn't, I guess, the right word, but like you can tell you love it. You can tell you love true crime. And I think that's delightful. Which is such a funny like way to talk about that genre, but it is.
I know it's a weird juxtaposition, the romance and the true crime, but you know, what can I say? Those are two genres I do genuinely really love. So,
and they just fit together. There is something about, you know, I've talked about this a lot in the past, but there's something about putting the darkness with the romance, with the happily ever after, and they just work. And I don't know if I know exactly why they work, but they do, and I love it, and I'm here for it every time.
Well, I always feel like, and I'll figure out a more eloquent way to say this at some point so I can just, you know, say it off the top of my head. But I feel like there's something about both true crime and romance that are a lot about vulnerability, you know, where it's like romance is all about opening yourself up to somebody in a very personal way and in a very intimate way. But I feel like with true crime, a lot of it is also thinking about our vulnerability as people in the world. And weirdly, I hope this doesn't sound too dark to say, but not just our vulnerability as potential victims, but our vulnerability as potential, like being complicit in these crimes, or the way that we react to these crimes, like the way that we sometimes do, you know, rubberneck about them, or mm-hmm. Kind of insert ourselves into situations. And so I don't know, I actually think that there's a common thread between the two genres, even though they're obviously very different.
Yeah, no, spot on. And I mean, that was something that we talked about a little bit in our true crime episode, was our personal reactions to true crime cases, in which we're almost idolizing in some way these mm-hmm. serial killers. It's like, why, humanity? Why are we doing that?
Right.
But like there, you know, we have our favorite serial killers, right? We have our favorite cases. And I find that fascinating. And there's definitely some, like, we need to dig into that at some point.
Right. Like, why does a, you know, serial killer coloring book exist? Like, why is that even a product that exists?
Yeah, that's humanity. We need to look in the mirror a little bit, but it, you know, it is. I think you're right. I think that vulnerability in both cases is there. I think even though it comes from different places, I think it taps into the same type of thing, which mm-hmm. is just fascinating. There's a line in your bio that had me so intrigued, and I want to know the story behind it. As a teen, she appeared in an episode of 48 Hours in the audience of a local murder trial, where she broke the fourth wall by looking directly into the camera. I have to know the story. Just, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it was a very, first of all, the bio was like the hardest thing to write to me. Like, it was harder to write than the book, it felt like, because it's like, well, what do I say in, you know, two or three sentences? So somehow this is what I came up with. But Yeah, when I was in 10th grade, there was a trial for a local girl who had killed her mom. And the trial happened to coincide with my spring break. And so I asked my mom, could I go to this trial? And I mean, to her credit, because it's like, this was a girl who was on trial for killing her mother. You know, my mom was like, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll drop you off, you know, at the trial. And then I'll pick you up when it's done. She worked downtown by the courthouse. So I was like, okay, this is perfect. And I remember I actually called her, the sentencing was happening and she like had to pick me up. And I called her from like a payphone. It was like, mom, please, it's a sentencing. And she was like, no, you got to come home. But yeah, so they filmed a 48 hours episode of that trial. And there was a camera in the courtroom. And at one point it kind of pans over the audience. And I guess, I don't know, I must've just seen out of the corner of my eye, the camera like moving, something kind of caught my attention. And so I very creepily kind of like slowly look like right at the camera. And like, I just like give it this like really dead stare. It's like very creepy, honestly. Somebody watching it was like, that's the next one. That's the next one to watch.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
I was trying to find it on YouTube to see if I could find that specific episode to find that moment. Oh my
God. Yeah. If you find that clip, you have to post that everywhere. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the new meme of the girl outside the house on fire. Who's just like staring.
No, it's so creepy.
Oh my God. Yeah. I read that and I was like, I need more. That's amazing. I also love, so you live in Florida, this book takes place in Florida, and there's a joke about how Allison's wife is like a Disney adult and she's converted Allison. I also am a Disney adult who converted my husband as a Floridian. How do you feel about Disney?
I'm not particularly a fan myself.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine you would
come through in the book. Yeah, I mean, I see that it gives a lot of people joy, and so I'm happy for them. But for me, I can think of like no place I'd less rather be than Disney World.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine if I actually lived in Florida and like was just surrounded by people who were obsessed with like the theme park down the road. I'd be like, guys, seriously, can we not?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just not my thing. Like something about like the crowds, I mean, it's always so hot. It like, I just don't really get it. Like I'll spend my money on other stuff. That's not really my thing. I did take the kids when they were kind of the right age for it. And to me, that was like the most, you know, suffering for love I've ever done in my life. Cause I didn't have fun, but they had a blast. So it was worth it.
Incredible. Yeah. That was one of the lines that I highlighted was the throwaway line about Allison's wife. I was like, whoop.
So one caveat that I do always feel like I have to make is I have never been to Disney like as an adult just with like another adult. Like I've never just gone with like just a friend or just my husband or something like that. And I can see a situation where that gives it a different vibe and makes it more fun. I can understand that. I just also don't want to take part in it.
Oh yeah, no, that's so legit. When I have a very specific way I've been going my whole life, and I have like a very, like, we plan our trip this far in advance. We have our reservations, like everything. And when I see friends or friends of friends who are like, oh, we're just going to Disney on a whim. And I'm just like, you're going to have a bad time. You're going to have a bad time. You should have let me plan your trip. You're going to have a bad time. And I don't want to hear about it.
See, and that is another thing is I often wish I had like a Disney adult to plan my Disney trip for me, because then I'm more assured that I would have a better time.
Yeah.
If I knew where to go and what times to avoid this place and, you know, all that kind of nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah. If you ever want to attempt it, let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I'll hook you up because it can be fun. But yeah, no, I was cracking up at that. I was like, oh, it's me. I converted my husband. He was like so worried that we were going to get there and he was going to be like, I hate this. I hate the crowds. I hate the heat. I hate all of this. And I totally converted him. He was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. So jumping back on true crime just for a little bit, and then we'll switch over to romance for a minute. Do you have a favorite true crime book?
Well, it probably will come as no surprise to anybody who reads the book, but I do really love In Cold Blood. I just think it's a brilliantly written book. I also do genuinely love I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara. I think that is just an amazing, amazing book. Yeah. Another one that I read recently, actually, that I really enjoyed was We Keep the Dead Close by Becky Cooper. Ooh, that was okay. A really good one. That was about a murder that took place on like the Harvard campus back in the 60s, I think. And I find that like the kind of true crime books that I tend to gravitate toward are the ones that kind of combine the case with the author.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind mm-hmm. of All Be Gone in the Dark model, where it's like it's partially about the case and like figuring out, you know, who did it or going through the investigation or whatever, but then it's also about like, why am I so obsessed with this, and right. why, what is this bringing to my life, and how am I connecting with this? And I'm just fascinated by that side of it too.
Yeah, I am too. I think those are great recommendations. I think it's, they're such good places for people to start if they're looking to start reading true crime. To kind of be like, here's a look into the genre and a look into these cases. And also there's some humanity here that mm-hmm. you can kind of hang on to.
Like, yeah,
I think that's great. Yeah, I think that's good. Okay. So the romance is so good in this. I love Phoebe and Sam so much. I was really glad to discover that Sam wasn't actually a serial killer. I was a little worried at first. I was right there with her.
Yeah.
I was like, you do not walk up behind a woman in the middle of the night.
Right.
Dear God, man. No, he's delightful. Their relationship is so sweet. And I also love the relationship between her brother and his girlfriend. They're so cute. There's so much love in this book. And it warmed my little heart.
Oh, thank you.
It's so good. So on that track, do you have a favorite romance novel?
That's a really tough one.
It's hard.
I have so many. I have so many that I love. I just mm-hmm. like obsessively love. I'm going to go real niche for a second. I'm going to go like back in time.
Nice.
So I started reading romance. A lot of my like mom's Harlequins were kind of my first foray into it. And she would get those boxes, you know, every month with like the 6 Harlequins in it or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was one author in particular, Alison Fraser, who I just loved every single one that she wrote. And I always felt like she had a little bit of darkness in her books, as well as kind of the romance, which is something I obviously imprinted on and was inspired by. And this one book in particular was called Tainted Love. And it was about a woman who, and this is like a Harlequin, this is like a category romance. So mm-hmm. to me, this was very cutting edge. But it was about a woman who had gone to prison for 4 years, and she was out of prison. And at the very start of the book, it's her going up to this job. This guy he wants to hire a housekeeper slash like caretaker for his son. He's got like a 10-year-old son. And so she gets, you know, somehow she meets his sister. I don't know. And the sister's like, oh, you should give this woman a chance for the job. And so the book starts with her like walking up to his house, and she can hear him through his window basically saying like, this woman's a convict. She's a felon. I'm not hiring her to watch over my son. And she's kind of like, well, screw you, buddy. Like, I don't need you. And she's just so prickly, but she's so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I just like love that book. Obsessively love that book.
That's awesome. I love that.
Oh, it was a great meet cute. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. Oh man. And I love like an enemies to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I eat that.
Yeah.
Up.
They have a great vibe. It's a really good book.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to look and see if I can get that one. That sounds awesome. Yeah. It's a hard question. I mean, asking favorite anything my mind immediately is like, I've never read a book in my life. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times I just default to kind of like, this is what I'm reading now.
Totally.
Because that way, you know, that's actually easier to answer. Like now I'm reading, In My Dreams, I Hold a Knife by Ashley Winstead.
Ooh,
and
nice.
So it's almost easier just to answer that question and not have to try to think through like every single book you've ever read.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And actually my next question was going to be, do you have any recommendations for things that you've read recently that you think we should read?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll forget them all now that you've asked, but I've read a lot of really good romance this year. And just in general, like a few authors that I read, pretty much every book that they ever come out with are like Rachel Lynn Solomon. Mm-hmm. Talia Hibbert is great for romance as well. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Barrett just came out with The Romance Recipe, which I haven't read yet, but it's sitting on my desk and I'm very much looking forward to it. It's a sapphic romance. And I really loved her first book. And so, yeah, those are just a few things that I kind of have on my radar right now.
I love that so much. I love it so much. Yeah, I am forever grateful to my coworker, Elizabeth, for being like, here, you should read this book, I think. And introducing me, like, not necessarily introducing me to romance, but like introducing me to like the modern romance of like, no, you really will like this. And like me being like, okay, like I was, you know, I was never like, no, I don't want to read it. But I was just like, oh, sure. And just fell down the rabbit hole. I was like, yep, all in. Give it to me.
Yeah. One thing I think about with romance in particular is it's such a diverse genre, actually. Yeah, totally. And I feel like sometimes people, they think that they know what a romance is, but it's like they're thinking of a very narrow, specific kind of romance. And it's like that exists, but there's a lot of other romances that exist. So if you, you know, want a queer couple, there's that. If you want, you know, more, you know, racial, cultural diversity, there's that. If you want, you know, a book that gets real dark, there's that, you know, go on book talk for that one. Yeah. if you want, you know, like something that's like very light and sweet and, you know, like, it's just, there's such a gamut that whenever anybody says that they don't like romance, I mean, I respect it, you know, I'm not like, I don't earn a commission. I'm not here to like sell you on it, but I always do kind of think a little bit like, oh man, that kind of makes me sad. Cause I feel like there is a romance out there that you would really like. I just, you know, I don't know what it is, but I feel like there is one that could get you hooked on it.
100% agree. Yeah. I feel like I really got into romances right in the beginning of the pandemic because I was like, I just want to know that there's a happily ever after, like the stakes aren't going to be super high. I can like, I can read it quickly and just escape into it for a little while and just like be around other people's love.
Yeah. Like, it's such a cozy feeling. And yet like really well done romances, at least to me, I still feel like I get put through the ringer. Like I still get the emotional ups and downs. So at least for me, knowing that there's a happily ever after at the end, it doesn't change the fact that when they're going through, you know, all their dark moment of the soul, I'm still feeling it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a really good romance writer like makes you feel it because you're invested, you care, you know? And so it hurts you. Sometimes I do this thing where I like skim ahead a little bit. Like if they're starting to like fight, I'm like, oh no. And so I'll like skim ahead a little bit just to see like, oh, I think that it's going to go down. And I want to be prepared for that. Like, I think that they're about to break up and I just want to know that kind of going in.
Yeah. Oh God. And then if they do break up for a little bit and you're like, please get back together, please.
I know.
Wait,
I know.
Wait, what?
But then it's so funny. Cause as a writer, like with my second book that I was working on, I was like, oh, I'm just going to put in a cute little blue moment. They're not going to break up. And then I was like, whatever, they're breaking up. I can't help it. It just, it happened. I can't stop it. But
that's amazing. No, I love it. I love this book. I can't wait for this to finally come out on Tuesday so I can hand sell it to all of my fellow like spooky romance lovers, my dark romance lovers. We're going to have so much fun with this one.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Oh, I love it so much. Alicia, thank you so much for hanging out and chatting with me. This book rocks.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Huge thanks again to Alicia Thompson for chatting with me. Love in the Time of Serial Killers will be out on August 16th. That's tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day I upload the episode. And will be available at Gibson's Bookstore. Definitely pick this one up. It's fantastic. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!